that, you know, there's a lot of people selling gold and silver on TV, Roslyn Capital, all these things. You know, if you call them and ask them, and if you don't understand gold and silver, they're going to, you're going to pay, in my opinion, you're going to pay higher than you might need to. And I'm not trying to badmouth people, but ideal, that's why I brought Mike in. He's very fair on his prices. He'll tell you straightforward. He'll answer your questions. If you tell him kind of what you're looking to do, he'll help you to do it and kind of give you some options and help you make that decision in a good, positive, ethical way. And not everybody selling gold and silver can say that. And so that's why we brought Mike on. So please support. Mike deserves your support. And if you have any questions, you've emailed us about different things. So that's why we found Mike and brought him on. So his number, 573-334-1108 and River City Coins in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. And he can answer or ship or what have you, or help you find somebody local, whatever. Check him out. Our next guest is a, comes on periodically. He was on not too long ago, and we're excited to have him on again. He's known as one of the top sovereignty educators, really, in America, certainly the world. For the last 25 years, he's been on and off different radio shows and always been a very hot guest, and people like to hear what he has to say. Brent Johnson from freedomradio.us, freedomradio.us. Welcome back to the Power Hour.
Pleasure as it always is. Thank you, Daniel.
Now, when I brought up this story and what went on, and we're going to talk a little bit about last weekend and the police and my extended stay with the whatever you want to call it, my visit to the correctional facilities in Cape Girardeau area. We want to. You guys called in. A lot of you called and didn't get in. You wait to the very. Please do not wait to the very end of the show and then try to get on. Please just call now, and then either wait or get. We will go right to you. If you have a question, a comment, what have you, about any of this, we would love to hear from you. Please do not wait. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. Call now. Now we're going to talk to Brent, and then we'll just keep going. So, the first thing, Brent, whenever you talk about police, any police subject, you know, half of America at least, they automatically get offended. How dare you question the police? What are you, some kind of communist or liberal, or what are you? And that may be changing. I don't know. I don't know where America is on that. I know where I am on it. And I have the feeling that the police, they're certainly not Andy Griffith anymore. And the things have changed. John Whitehead certainly feels that way. Kelby Smith, everybody we have on, thousands and thousands of people every day have traumatic, damaging, awful experiences with police all over this country. And I don't think it's right. Let's get your perspective.
Well, in the first place, Andy Griffith was a sheriff. Okay. And sheriffs are very different than police. Sheriffs are elected by the people and are therefore answerable to the people. Police are appointed by the governor. Okay. It could be by the mayor or something, but ultimately it comes under the administration, the executive branch of government. Okay. So police have their, are beholden to the state. Sheriffs are beholden to the people. That is the primary difference between the two. Sheriffs are what we are supposed to have in order to have a proper judicial system in a free society, in a democratic republic, which is what we have. Okay. Police have no place in such a society. Police are there to do the will of the state. That is their obligation. That's the primary difference between the two. And, if you look at it that way, then you can understand why the police are so hard-nosed. Look at what they call themselves. They call themselves law enforcement. Law enforcement. Can you think about that? That's what they're about. They are about force. They are about, I'll tell you, in all honesty, and some of you might not like this, but in all honesty, okay, when I edit stories for posting on websites, I don't call them police anymore. I call them terrorist pig thug cops. Now, understand, okay, that, you know, when I hear about a cop raping a woman after a traffic stop, as far as I'm concerned, that's a pig thug cop. When I hear about a cop doing something actually good, giving somebody a lift rather than giving them a ticket, you know, I'm the first to go out on the air and say, that was a good cop. But most of them are, in my opinion, terrorists. Now, let me explain that. If you look in Webster's Dictionary under terrorism, it means ruling by intimidation. That's what terrorism is. Ruling by intimidation. So how many of you out there are going to tell me that the cops don't intimidate? They threaten you with arrest. They threaten to kill you. Okay? They threaten to do whatever they want to do in order to get you to comply with them. Now, theoretically, a sheriff who is beholden to the people who does that will simply not get elected again. But you can't do that with a cop. You can't do that with a cop. And one other element that is relevant here. Back in New York a few years ago, a guy sued and actually went into the appeals courts, and he lost. He sued because he wanted to be a police officer, and they turned him down because he was too smart, too intelligent. He had a high IQ, and he felt that was discriminatory. Okay, so he sued, and he lost the case. He went into appeals. He still lost the case. The argument was, and this is what the court said was justified the win by the cops. The argument was that we don't want people smart enough to think for themselves. We want people who will obey and do what they are told. Okay. So the court said that as long as the police have a standard that they are looking for, it's okay for them to discriminate against this guy because he's not smart. Now, the point of the story is that they're not looking for people who think for themselves, and they're not looking for smart people. So essentially what you have is an army of people who are beholden to the state, who don't think for themselves, and who are not very smart, given guns and badges. That's what you have.
How are our listeners? There's several questions I have, but let's directly address that. How are our listeners supposed to take what you just said? That's a very provocative statement. That case, was that in New York, or where was it at?
That was New York.
New York, okay. And then that was the actual ruling, what the judge said.
Yeah, I actually saw a copy of the ruling. That's exactly what the judge said.
This is stunning.
Since they have a standard, okay, they're allowed to do this. Since they have a reason.
How is people listening? And obviously, you know, society has this concept that police are there for our good. They're there to keep order and to keep the law, and to, if without them, everything would fall apart. I mean, what you're saying, you're challenging law and order. That's what a lot of people listening may take this. How are they supposed to take this?
No, I'm not challenging law and order. Law and order is maintained by the sheriffs. Okay. Not the police. Okay, it's a simple question as to what kind of society you want. If you want a society that is ruled by the state, the police are perfectly fine for that kind of a society. They will get you what you want. If you want a society that is ruled by the people, then the police have no place in that society. Sheriffs do, not the police.
Now, sheriff, you know, you can go back to Robin Hood. There was a sheriff of Nottingham. The ideas of sheriff go back, I don't know how many years. I mean, at least 500 or 600 years, I believe. You may know better than me.
Further than that, yeah.
Yeah, I think it is further than that. But this concept of, you know, the community gets together and decides on a lawman, a keeper of the peace. He becomes a sheriff, and he acts and executes common law and keeps the order. That goes back, you know, long time. Where did this concept of police come in, and the state, and, you know, what we see now?
Okay, well, first let me address. Sheriff of Nottingham was at a time and in a place where the people did not elect the sheriff. Okay, the sheriff was appointed by the king. Okay, and anytime you have that type of situation, it's relatively easy to end up with ongoing corruption. Okay, because in this case, the sheriff was beholden to the king, not to the people. In America, it was set up differently. Okay, it's a old England was not a democratic republic. Okay, not by any means. So, all due respect to the argument about the sheriff of Nottingham, okay, who you know, was a pretty bad guy. Okay, that
no, I'm just, I was just, I was just referencing the fact that it's very, you know, it's an old concept. This is not, sheriffs are not a new concept.
Yes, yes, that's true. Ask your question again because, about the police because I.
Where did this start? Where did we go from, even the Constitution talks about sheriff and in the counties, the sheriff really is the highest legal authority. And they're elected and what have you, and it went from that to a total disconnect where basically the state is running their own army and they call it policemen.
Yeah, well, governments all over the world have assumed that they have what they call police powers. Just like governments all over the world assume they have the right to declare a state of emergency and suspend the rule of law. Okay? That is a simple assumption. There is no place in the American system for that. And states have just made the assumption that they have the right, okay, to appoint police, okay, that exercise police powers. There is no basis in either state or federal constitutions for such a thing. Okay, there simply is no space for a police power. It is an assumed power. It is a usurped power. Now, people talk about if we didn't have any police, you know, the people who say if we didn't have police, we would have absolute chaos and anarchy and all this stuff. Notwithstanding that anarchy is not necessarily a bad thing, we could discuss that separately. But there are places, there's a place in Alaska, I don't remember the name of the town, where they actually passed an ordinance where the police cannot carry guns. Okay, similar to old England, the police cannot carry guns, and they have no crime. They have not devolved into chaos and anarchy and all this. Okay, they have no crime. Yeah, so it's an imagined outcome. It's, you know, we think that without the police, we're going to be in trouble because we've been trained to think that way. What I try to do is get people to think for themselves. Don't think based upon what you said. Where do you, you know, I have an invitation. Call into the show and tell us. Answer Daniel's question. Okay, where do you get the sense in your mind that without the police we would be in absolute terrible situation? Where anybody who thinks that way, and don't be ashamed of it, okay, you and I don't have to agree on this. I'm trying to get to the point of how people think, okay? If you believe, genuinely believe, that if we didn't have police we would have all kinds of trouble, call in and tell us. Why do you think that way? Where did thought come from? How did you come to that conclusion? I'd love to hear that.
Oh, I would too. That's a great, good job. Good job, Brent. You're doing a good job hosting today. Yeah, I would love to hear that. I think that's fantastic. Really logically, kind of what we've seen the places with the most police actually are the most criminal, the most dilapidated. I can think of Chicago, I can think of Baltimore, I can think of, you know, these inner cities with the most hardened and most structured police forces. That's where the worst criminality is.
Well, and you know, the police started in the cities. That's where it started, okay, because the sheriff is an elected representative of the county, okay, and it has always been, and that's the way it was set up. Cities are incorporated areas of the country, okay? A city is a corporation. When it becomes incorporated, all corporations get their existence from federal statutory law. So all corporations are actually subject to federal jurisdiction and federal control. Even though the police force is beholden to the state governor, okay, the corporation, which is the city, okay, is subject to federal control. So what's happened is you have essentially bypassed the county and the protections of the county, okay, by creating a city. Now, we can have a whole discussion around whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, and I'm not arguing it one way or another right now, but it is the corporation of the city that hires the police, because as a corporate entity, it is its own entity. It is not subject to the restrictions of Constitution, because it has, I've talked about this a little bit on previous shows, that in every state we have two states. We have the organic constitutional state, and then we have the corporate state. The organic constitutional state is its own country. Each state is its own country. If you actually look in Title 18, Section 295, Subsection 297, Subsection B, which is the appointment of federal judges in the various states, it refers to the states as foreign countries, because each state has its own borders, each state has its own government, you know, each state has its own body of laws. That's what defines a country. So within each state, there is, you know, each state is its own entity. Then you have the corporate state, or the corporate city. All corporations are subject to U.S. federal jurisdiction and controlled through that. They are not controlled by the Constitution. They are controlled by federal statutory law. So you have two coexisting entities, the organic state and the corporate state. This also applies to cities. You have the organic counties, okay, which are part of the organic state. And then you have the corporate cities. So two coexisting entities in the same space. Okay, the one, okay, is governed by a body of laws where there's a sheriff and all of that. The other is governed by a body of laws where the state controls everything. That's where the police are.
Okay. We got it.
And there's no confusion as to how they got this way. They got this way because they're trained to be this way. Yeah, I hear you. We gotta go away for a second.
Yeah, we got about two, 3 minutes before the break. I just, we're gonna get into that more on the other side. Some of the things that the police, when I was arrested, what he said to me is just, it's not shocking because I know this instinctually, the things I've heard, and I just kind of have a sense that this was true. But just to see it on display right in front of me was kind of shocking. Like, wow, it really is true. We'll get into more detail on that. I want to give a shout out to Mary. She emailed, or she left a voice message. Mary Ann. There's several Marys that call in, but it's Mary Ann. I don't want to use your last name. She said, let the jailbird know that we support him. So, Mary, I support you too. Thank you, Mary. That was very nice of you. And there's a story I'm going to bring up now, and then I want to get your reaction on the other side. A good friend of mine, Dr. Krupa, he had an incident where he had a meeting with the attorney general in a place in Texas, and he's talking about the Constitution. He's talking about law, and on tape, this attorney general, or I think it was assistant AD, I don't know, but for somebody very high up in Department of Justice there in that county. And on tape, this man said that statutes, city statutes, state statutes supersede the Constitution. And I about hit the frickin' floor. He's got it on tape. I couldn't believe it. And we wonder why we see things like that's unconstitutional. Why? Where in the world are these people getting these ideas? They're going to these schools. They're going to law schools. They're going to the government. It's human nature when you get power.
That's where they're getting the ideas. From the law schools. They're trained that way.
It's not only does it infuriate me, but it breaks my heart. I mean, the greatest achievement of mankind in a long time is the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. And to now see the very people who swear an oath to protect it and uphold it now destroying it and have so little understanding and so little knowledge of it, it's stunning. It's stunning. We got about 40 seconds. Your comment, and then we'll get more into this on the other side.
And it's not that they don't have knowledge. They don't really have knowledge of it, but it's not about that they don't have knowledge about it. It's that they're not motivated. The character of these people is such that they're not motivated to recognize that there are limitations on what they can do. They're not motivated to do that. They're the kind of people who seek power, who seek control. And so to go in and sit there and say, well, I recognize that I am controlled by the Constitution and I cannot do anything that the Constitution prohibits me from doing or the Constitution does not authorize. To recognize that is to recognize that I am but a servant, which is what they're supposed to be. But the character of these people is not to serve. It is to control. So they don't recognize that. They're not going.
There you go. There's the break. We're going to try to fix your phone on the other side, and we'll more. And I'm going to get my wife in here to explain what happened and get your reaction. This is a very important subject, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to be free, the people who supposedly are supposed to protect your freedom need to understand what that means. Stay tuned. ThePowerHour.com, FreedomRadio.us. Be right
back. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. Unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
Welcome back to the Power Hour. I'd like to remind everybody the specials over the Power Mall. Thank you so much for your support. We have a couple of those front. They may be gone by now. I don't know. If you want to get on in one of those, please give Jay a call. 877-817-9829. We got 10% off magnesium oil, Miracle 2, Global Healing, Strauss, Vitamir. And if you're listening, you enjoy what we do here, buy some toothpaste. Will you please call and buy some toothpaste or donate? Will you please? That helps us expand and helps us do what we're doing here and support. We're here because you're here. I mean, it's really that simple. We've tried to work on giving you the best bang for your buck, and we got rewards programs that we're doing, and yeah, thank you. That's all I can say, and you're welcome for what we do. 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. Over at the Power Mall, thepowermall.com. And I bet you that tiger wouldn't have lost his leg if he had it packed in clay and oregano.
I know.
That's the best. You know that. Your foot, how's your foot doing, by the way? My wife's here.
My foot looks great.
Yeah. She got bit by a brown recluse. Used clay, oregano, and Healon. In the lamb cream, both of them. That's it. That's all she used. And took some, did get some vitamin C in her. That's it. So, thepowermall.com, 877-817-9829. Welcome, Tristan. How you doing?
Hey, it's good to be here. Hi, Brent.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Well, you sound like you're in a tunnel a little bit, Brent. I know. It sounds a little better. I brought Tristan on so she can kind of tell a little bit of the situation and what have you. Now, during the break, just for people, I tried to Google. I didn't try to Google. I did Google. I Googled Article 6, Section 2, Constitution. And to try to get the actual text of what this says on Google is darn near an act of Congress to get it. I'm trying to get just the text of the Constitution on this phone. Here, finally, I finally found it. My gosh. After all this time I've been trying to find Google. I really, ladies and gentlemen, Google is not what it used to be. Anyway, To give you an idea of how important the Bill of Rights is, and we've talked about this, and our standing and our right to be secure and our persons, papers, and effects and what have you, certainly our person, this is what gives the Constitution supremacy. All the states agreed that the states can do pretty much whatever they want except certain things. And this is how it clarifies this in the Constitution. This Constitution and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of the states to the contrary notwithstanding. Okay, what that means is, no matter what you think the rest of this Constitution says, no matter what you think the states may say, every judge, every court is bound by this Constitution in the states. So if something is repugnant to the Constitution, it is null and void. It's non-existent. It is not law. It is color of law. It is a fraud. That's my word. That's the word I use. It's a fraud. They want to pass this off as law and that this is true. That's fraud. That's what you call fraud. Okay. And that's why nobody is teaching this. That's why your schools, your children don't know this. Because God forbid that a police officer actually gets in there with a badge and a gun and starts quote unquote protecting law or enforcing law and has the Constitution as its bridle and to your God-given rights. That your God-given rights take supremacy off their duty. Their quote-unquote job, their quote-unquote duty. God forbid that happens. And that's why these schools do not teach this. This is your inheritance. That God, it is self-evident in this country, we recognize that God gives us our life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that government's sole purpose is to protect it. The Constitution, then, in the Bill of Rights, solidifies this even more. It's the keystone of everything that our founding fathers did and gives us protection from the government. It's the Constitution for the United States, meaning this is the people, we the people, that's first sentence of it, we the people are giving this to you. This is your change. The power is where? The sovereignty is where? Not my opinion. John Jay, the first Supreme Court Justice, says we are sovereigns without subjects. This is not my opinion. The sovereignty of America rests on the people. We have joint tenets in sovereignty. The Constitution, then, is used to protect that sovereignty and execute law. The Bill of Rights is sacred. The Bill of Rights is the most important, with the Declaration, is the most important political document we've seen at least since Mosaic Law. In some ways, I think it's more transcendent. In some ways, Mosaic Law is. I think they're probably, of importance. Certainly Mosaic Law is older, but other than that, the effect that's had and the promise of it is, it cannot be overstated. It is impossible for me to even fully, explain how important and magnanimous and important that moment is and was for all of us. What I can say is that by habitual practice, by quote-unquote color of law, by quote-unquote statute, by quote-unquote their job, police habitually violate this standard. Habitually.
Well, they go to public academy school.
Yeah, like your children go to public school, they go to public school too, the public police academy. Well, they don't talk about this. Before the break, I was talking to Brent, and we were discussing the concept that one of my good friends, Dr. Krupa, has on tape one of the attorney generals of his area saying state law supersedes the Bill of Rights. He is mistaken. He is out of his mind. It immediately should neglect him, restrict him from being in his office. He does not know what he's talking about. He is so far off base. He has no concept. I don't even know what to say about this. I want to get further your comment about that perspective, about this Attorney General, Brent.
Well, again, you have to understand that everybody you're referring to, the cops, the governor, the judges, every one of them is a bureaucrat. All bureaucrats are the product of their training. And I want to tell you a very brief story here. And I understand kind of having trouble hearing me, and I apologize for that, but I will try and speak up as much as I can. Maybe that will help some. A number of years ago, I attended as a speaker a trade show in Dallas, Texas. And somebody traveled from Montana to see me, wanted to hear me speak. And this guy and I were sitting at one point having a general conversation, and he told me his history. He was well knowledgeable in common law, and he decided he wanted to take the bar course. Now, when you take the course to take the bar exam, it is given by a tutor who is there to teach you how to take the bar exam. And during the course, he kept asking questions of the tutor about common law. How does common law relate to this? How does common law relate to that? And finally, the tutor stopped him and said, look, by the time you take the bar exam, you will have a new way to look at the law. At this point, the guy quit the course. Okay,
wow.
And that was the extent of the story. But the point of the story is, by the time you become an attorney, you have a new way to look at the law. All these people are trained to think of the law differently than it was originally laid down. Now, you just said it. The Constitution is supreme law of the land. That means it is above all other laws. But when you incorporate a body of government, whether it be the state, the city, the county, okay, the feds, makes no difference. When you incorporate, what you are doing is creating a fresh new entity that is not subject to the Constitution, but rather is subject to federal statutory law. The reason for that is simple. Okay, it is the federal statutory law that created the corporations, not the Constitution. The creator controls the creation. So since the organic state, the organic county, etc., were created by the Constitution, it is supreme with respect to those entities. But since the federal statutory law created the corporations, all those corporations are not subject to that Constitution. And therefore, it's not true that, you know, these regulations supersede the Constitution. It's just the Constitution doesn't apply. And as a matter of fact, if you go into corporate courts and you cite the Constitution, many a judge will say to you right there in court, the Constitution does not apply in these matters. That's why.
We have a caller. Let's get to him quick, and then I want to go over some details of what happened and then get your comments. We have Thomas in Florida. Thomas in Florida, you're live on the air. What's on your mind, Thomas?
Oh, thank you for having me on.
Yes.
I heard the discussion about the sheriff, and I've kind of, you know, for many years I've called into various shows, and I would say, gee, you know, everybody in America is, you know, we're very distressed about what's going on, and, you know, we want to change the country. But it would be much, much easier to change your county. In other words, the state would be difficult to change. The entire, you know, all the union of the states would be very difficult. But if you started with your county, and if you started with the sheriff, and, you know, everybody's looking for a safe place to live where you're not going to be bothered, if a county sheriff was to truly take over a county, he would be the go-to guy. In other words, if you were having trouble with, let's say you wanted to build an addition on your house, and you started getting hassled by, you know, the building and zoning, you'd go to see him, and he'd go there and straighten them out. If you had, let's say, an IRS lien on your bank account, he'd run down to the bank, what you told him, he'd get that straightened out. He'd basically tell the bankers, hey, turn this person's money back over him, or I'm going to put you in jail. It would literally be a safety zone where we could live in. I mean, if you wanted to stay within your county, you could probably drive without putting a plate on your car. You'd be able to either open or concealed carry. I mean, you could do whatever you wanted to that the Constitution gives us the freedoms to do. And you could stay within your county and actually be quite safe. In other words, it's a safe zone. And, you know, out of the 3,300 or so counties in the United States, as far as I know, not one group of people in their county is elected a sheriff who actually did that. And I think it's a little, I find it discouraging that, gosh, where do we begin? You have to begin with the county. You know, you start from the county, and it would spread to the next county. Once they saw how well you're living in your county, they'd say, hey, I want to live like that. And it could actually spread and maybe go from state to county to county, then eventually take over the state, then it would start spreading to other states, because who doesn't want to live the way they see other people live if it's, like, really great? You say, wow, man, this is wonderful. But out of the 3,300, I've never seen one sheriff. You know, people would, you know, the sheriff would straighten the judges out really quick in the county. He would straighten everybody out. He'd probably fire the police department, or else he'd deputize them and turn them all into sheriff's deputies. But not one county has done it.
Thomas, your idea that you just said about the county, I've thought that to myself because I've looked at this long and hard. What can America do? What really could we do with what we're facing? And I thought in the back of my head, you're just daydreaming. You're like, what if everybody who felt like me, or even, you know, 1,000, 2,000 of us that felt like me, all moved to one sparsely populated county somewhere in the western United States and did exactly what you said and began to execute the Constitution? I mean, what would happen? I think that's a brilliant concept, Thomas. Just brilliant.
Well, it would spread like wildfire, because wouldn't it be wonderful just to go and stake out a, you know, you say, I'm going to build an addition on my house. You don't have to ask anybody's permission. Or you want to carry a firearm, you know, hey, are you, again, let's say you had trouble with the Internal Revenue, the sheriff would be down there straightening that bank out real quick.
Brett, do you want to comment on this?
Yes, I do. First, brilliant comment, Thomas. Excellent what you said. However, you are wrong in saying there are no sheriffs of that sort. Probably the most famous is Sheriff Richard Mack from Arizona, okay, who has actually created the Constitutional Sheriffs Association, which regularly has hundreds of sheriffs in attendance to learn exactly what you just said and go back to their counties and effect that. And there are a number of sheriffs all over the country who have indeed gone up against the feds, okay, prohibited feds from coming into their county and thrown them out, you know, when they've tried to do things to the people. So there are sheriffs. Dave Mattis comes to mind. There's a sheriff out in Oregon. I forget his name right now. Okay, but there are a number of sheriffs who are, and that number, by the way, is growing, who are learning their true power, okay, and you know, with blessings out Richard Mack, because he's been instrumental. Every year, I believe it's September, he has a conference someplace where he invites all the sheriffs, and many, many, many do attend. Now, granted, many, okay, are not doing their jobs properly, but it's not correct to say there are none. Absolutely not correct, and that number is growing. You know, but you are correct. Now, where you lose it a little bit, though, is the issue of doing an extension on your house. When you record your ownership of the house, and most people, when they buy a house, they go through a title, goes to an attorney who records the ownership at the county level. Now, there is no law requiring you to record your property. And by the way, I had 5 acres in Texas, never got it recorded, never got a property tax statement either, never paid a penny in property tax because I didn't have to, okay, because it was not recorded. When you record your property, you give the property over to the state through the county, the corporate county, not the organic county. You give the property to the state, okay, as a kind of a trustee of the state. That's why you pay property taxes, and that is why you are regulated. We need zoning permits and permits for this and permits for that. And that is how they can actually go after the property if you don't comply. Okay, and the solution is to get your property unrecorded, which is a whole process, but which can be done. That particular example, the sheriff would not be successful in that, because when you recorded the property, you voluntarily placed it under the jurisdiction of the administrative agencies. But with respect to other things like, carrying firearms and all that stuff, absolutely right on, 100%. The sheriff is the highest law official in the county, period. And even the governor cannot remove a sheriff because he's an elected official.
Well, Thomas, thank you so much for your call. I thank you for your input, and God bless you. Any last quick, if you have a quick last comment?
We had a sheriff removed from a county here in Florida. I think it was Liberty County. Our governor, Rick, our last governor, he actually kicked the guy right out of office because he let a man have a gun back that he was carrying, under his seat. Anyway, bottom line was, he just said, "No, we're not gonna press charges." And then when our Rick Scott, our governor, just governed it, he actually kicked he dethroned that sheriff, which I can't. And he never got put back, as far as I know. But that's Florida.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. But I mean, not to be adversarial, but all that about the different sheriffs. But can Brent? Can he name one county in this country where you can basically go to your sheriff for all the other stuff?
Actually, there are quite a few, and unfortunately, I'm not prepared with that information. I would have to look that up. Okay, yeah. But there absolutely are. Oklahoma, Oregon have counties of that sort.
Let me interrupt you here. We got a couple of callers. We're running out of time. Part of the problem is the media never tells you about when good things happen with the sheriff. That's what's so difficult to even find out. God forbid they let somebody know that they have constitutional power in these counties. Anyway, I got to go, Thomas. I got another caller. Thank you so much. That was an excellent point and excellent concept. Thank you so much, Thomas.
Okay.
Let's go.
Thank you.
Yes. Let's go to Steve in New Mexico. Steve in New Mexico, you're live on the air.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Mr. Johnson. You were talking about, corporates, cities and everything. I think I remember somewhat back, 1871, where they ruled that this would be corporate America, and this is why we have corporate cities and everything. I'll let you carry that out.
Yeah, right about 1871, the Buck Act came later. Everything began to be transitioned. The money then came after that, where we had gold pieces. Now we have Federal Reserve notes. It just became a complete transition from organic to corporate America, like you said. That's 100% true. Trading with the Enemies Act, 1917. That was a very important time. That's how Roosevelt had the quote unquote authority to take the gold. In 1933, the enemy became the U.S. citizens, and then they took the gold because they made take everybody in these social security numbers. We only have a couple minutes. A couple things that I have to bring up to Brent. This policeman, it was a sheriff too, by the way. It was a sheriff's patrol. He was obsessed with my social security number, wanted me to give him a social security number, and two, was also obsessed with me being, he asked me, "Are you a sovereign citizen?" And out of his mouth, this sheriff said, because I said, "No, why?" And he said, "Because they're dangerous. These guys are dangerous." That was his own words out of his mouth. And what in the world are these people being trained that the threat to them, the terror threat to them, is somebody who believes in sovereignty? I mean, comment on that, Brent.
Yes, absolutely. And that is exactly how they're trained. They are trained to think of this as a war in their training phase. This is a war. It's you and the people, okay? Everybody is a criminal. And you must consider that for your own safety, that everyone is a criminal, okay? In other words, assume they are guilty, not assume they are innocent. Okay, they are trained to think of it that way, and they're trained to think of it like a war, where their lives are in danger. So it's no wonder that they go out there and they're quick on the trigger and everything like that. And yes, they are trained to think of sovereign citizens, because the FBI says sovereign citizens are terrorists. So that's where they get their information. Okay, so that's how they, you know, come to do their job based upon their training. You know, and it's all about the training. And yes, I know it was a sheriff. The one thing you didn't do, by the way, is when he asked you social security number, and you said you don't have one, you should say, I don't have one due to my sincere religious conviction. Those exact words, sincere religious conviction, because they understand religious discrimination is something to keep away from. That was the only thing that you were missing there. You did excellent in your interactions with the sheriff.
I think Tristan going down there and asking a lot of questions had a lot to do. We're out of time already. Steve, I really appreciate your call and everything. This, I don't want this to turn into an adversarial relationship with police and just police in general in America, blah, 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 blah. I want people to just see free, am I such a threat? You know, it's just ridiculous. You know, think about it. Am I such a threat? What threat am I to the country? I want to work with police. I want to work with sheriffs. I want to respect them. I want to have, as they act in their office as they should, they are going to garner the respect and the adoration of the American people like Andy Griffith. You know, instead, we got too many Barney Fifes that need to be have their bullets put in their pocket. I mean, really. It's just that simple. Anybody who says different is not out there. Doesn't see this. I mean, that's just the way it is. And they might be offended, and police families might be offended and what have you. When the IRS wants to enforce, who does it? The police. When they want to serve some warrant with an MRAP coming down the highway, who does it? The police. When they want to bring people to debtor's prison, when they want to violate the Constitution, when the government wants to violate your rights, who do they use? Okay? Who do they use? So, there you go. There you go. Brent, last thought is yours, my friend. Got about 10 seconds.
I think you've all said it very well. Very quickly, 888-385-3733 if you want to get in touch with me. Freedomradio.us is the website.
All right, God bless everybody. Have a fantastic weekend. We got a lot of guests next week, including Lauren. Lauren from Ohio, which we're really excited about that. Tristan, sorry you didn't get to talk too much. So good to see you, and God bless everybody. We care about you very much. We want you happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you to be. All right, bye.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-98.